Michigan Common Sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
All right.
So one paper plate or two, is it? Hey, I'm talking to you. Is that one paper plate or two?
Never mind. It's the Steve Gribble Show, free-for-all Friday.
That's a five-plater, bud.
All right. Get those, and you need that Chinette stuff. Don't get that thin stuff. Don't want that thing breaking. It's 45 after the hour. The hotline number is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966, the day before Halloween. And by the way, on the Steve Gribble Show Facebook page, go find the little posting. We're looking for the very best costume out there, and we want to talk about it. I've seen a couple of really good Donald Trump outfits, by the way. The hair, it's spectacular. The headline that I'm looking at says this. Math test scores are down for the first time in 25 years. And I'm thinking, I watch the news. And for 25 years, math test scores in Washington have been flatlining. So how could this even be true? Our next guest, Lindsay Burke, researches and writes on federal and state education issues as the Will Skillman Fellow in Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Lindsay, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I've watched politicians for years unable to do simple math, and yet you tell me it's the first time in 25 years. I'm just mildly skeptical.
Yeah, right. Well, to keep with a Halloween theme, these are some pretty scary numbers, right? I mean, it really is the first time that we've seen these types of declines on what's known as the National Assessment of Educational Progress, the NAEP. And we saw declines among eighth graders and among fourth graders in both mathematics and reading. And so, you know, I think the big picture issue here is we've seen, at the same time we've seen these declines, significant increases in spending, federal, state, and local. And so, you know, to me, it all comes back to the issue of it's not about more spending. It's about who we empower with control over dollars.
No, wait a second, Lindsay. Hold on, Lindsay. Hold on. Hold on right there. You know, that is the most, short-sighted comment I've ever heard. What do you mean spending doesn't buy you a good education? Of course,
right.
I'm joking.
So
I know that to be true.
When you look at the numbers, right, when we've seen the near tripling of federal per-pupil expenditures over the same amount of time, we have seen flat improvements, and this year we actually saw decreases. You know, I think it suggests that instead of just continuing to ever-increase spending at the federal level, let's think about ways to actually empower parents with control over those dollars. Until we do that, I don't think we're going to see much improvement.
Well, what would Bernie Sanders do? He'd say we need to double our investment because clearly we're not spending enough, Lindsay. I mean, if
that's
we're not
right.
getting the results,
yeah.
spend more money.
Right, and you know that's what we've heard decade after decade after decade, is it is just about more spending. And I think these numbers are just one more data point, quite frankly, in a story that is not aligning with this idea of spending and academic achievement. And if you look, if you kind of take the other view and say, hey, let's empower parents, let's give them control over these dollars, in the states that are doing that, we have seen some pretty dramatic improvements. Low-income kids in Florida, for example, which has one of the largest school choice programs, have seen dramatic improvement over the past decade. So, you know, we have pockets around the country where we are seeing really significant improvements, and many of those pockets happen to be where we are also seeing changes in how we finance education, where we've started to fund the child instead of funding the system.
Instead of funding the, dare I say, the union? So fund the education, do not fund
well.
The union?
So that's the thing. There's so many different reforms that should be coming into play in states across the country, whether it is right to work, whether it is giving teachers a choice as to whether or not they join a union. We saw this in Wisconsin to great effect. School choice options, merit pay for teachers. I mean, when we look at the suite of reforms that states like Florida put into place, and when we see the impact that these reforms can have, particularly when it comes to school choice, to me that paints a really hopeful picture. It's just about
right, here's the problem,
Lindsay. Move those reforms forward.
Well, all sarcasm aside, here's the problem. You know, if you were a politician, terms like bigot and racist and short-sighted being attached to your name right now, to emails being sent all over. Oh, Lindsay says this and she says that because of schools of choice, and that's a Republican scheme to, you know, to protect white kids and blah, 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 and all the nonsense you have to deal with. No wonder we have no success in education. We can't even get out of first gear when it talks about reforms because people get demonized as soon as they suggest anything that might work. Your plan in Florida, it's probably a great Florida plan. It's probably one of those best practices, things we could apply elsewhere. Will it ever go anywhere? Unfortunately, in this environment, probably not.
Well, if you look at who's actually served by school choice options, and by school choice, of course, we mean things like scholarships, tuition tax credit options, education savings accounts, vouchers. When you look at school choice options, these options are primarily right now serving low-income and minority children and children with special needs across the country. And in fact, school choice options for children with special needs are the fastest growing school choice options across the country. So they are really serving those kids who have historically been the most underserved by traditional brick and mortar public schools to which they've been assigned.
Well, there's no question about that. But again, the challenges are the same, which is getting it past politicians who, in my estimation, really don't care about the kids. They care about an agenda and a narrative that can get them reelected cycle after cycle after cycle. And as a result, the byproduct of that perpetual pursuit of an office is that a lot of these kids get passed by and passed over. And they have literacy challenges and math challenges, and therefore they have challenges for the rest of their life. You know that. I know that.
And the figures that just came out that you referenced, the decline this morning, I mean, that shows exactly what you're talking about. I mean, we've just not seen improvements. But for these states that continue to refuse, basically, to provide school choice options to kids, they will be states that are standing alone pretty shortly. I think parents are going to be able to look around pretty quickly and see that neighboring states have all moved on school choice options. So I think that in short order, we are going to see enough competitive pressure from other states on the school choice issue that many states that refuse to move in that direction aren't going to have that luxury much longer.
Lindsay Burke from the Heritage Foundation, I hope you're right about that for the sake of our children, for real. Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Free for All Friday on the Steve Gruber Show.